Back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app anywhere you get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Look for the Odyssey app. It's a big orange background with a white A. Download it. Once it's installed, you look for WILK News Radio. You favorite it. That's it. You're done. Get us anywhere, anyplace, anytime. Pure digital bliss. No worries about signals. No worry about the mountains. You can press pause. When you stop listening to it, it'll pick up where you left off. It's a great little asset to have in your toolbox on your phone, because that's what your phone literally is. It's our toolbox. It's got a little all our little apps in there to deal with what we need to deal with and deal with our stresses in life, even though we're spending way too much time on these little things. It is 5:10, 76 degrees on this Monday, June 9th, 2025. Hopefully you had a good weekend. Hopefully you recharged the batteries. I did get a text message that I'd be sleeping on the couch again tonight. Thank you, honey. I miss you too. But we'll deal with that later. And no, we won't. She beats me. All 5 foot of her. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you can call or text at 570-883-0098. What did you do this weekend? Did you get anything done? Did you get anything accomplished? We were finally able to do some yard work on Sunday. There was enough time to let the lawn dry out from the night dew and the rain we had the day before to where I was able to get the grass cut. We trimmed some bushes, did a whole lot of stuff. Got the yard. I did notice that part of my pool was not imploding, but on its way there. We have not drained the cover, the pool cover yet. The pool cover's still on. We're hoping to get it off this weekend because I got to get that pool fired up. But I did notice that the pool cover was too heavy from all the rain and liquid on that was on it from the winter. And we'll drain it. It kept getting by us, and I saw. But the cable that holds the pool cover on was pinching the skimmer and pushing it in and dented that whole side of the pool. So I was able to get the cable off of it, and we, of course, forced us to drain the pool cover. But hopefully crisis averted. I really didn't get a good look at it. It looked like it popped right back into place, but hopefully there's not more damage than I didn't notice, because that would be a problem. But that's what we got done this weekend. Hopefully you got some things. My wife went to a graduation party while I did some stuff around the house, and that's where we ended up there. Hopefully you got some things done. If you want to text in what you got, let us know. So I found this story, and it's coming out of New York, but it was so relating to things we've seen here and other places and anywhere else. The Department of Education, now this is the New York City Department of Education, gives a $4 million field to the ex-chancellor's all-boys school, and girls soccer players get the boot. Now you read the story and it's like, how could this possibly happen? But it does happen. It happens all the time. We've seen these pet projects. We've seen somebody knows somebody and gets special preferable treatment. So I figured I'd bring the story forward today. It's a field of broken dreams, they're calling it. The City Department of Education spent $4 million in taxpayer funds to renovate a Brooklyn athletic field. Now, this is truly a state-of-the-art bleachers, turf, scoreboards, football field. This is something that rivals, you know, the Valley View or the Dunmore, you know, sports complexes that we've seen. So $4 million in taxpayer money goes to renovating this, and it's beautiful. Then they handed it to a small all-boys public school founded by former Chancellor David Banks, former Department of Education Chancellor, which promptly kicked out three girls' soccer teams. The power play by Eagle Academy, a young men's school in East Flatbush, is under scrutiny by the feds for alleging violation of Title IX, which bars sex discrimination in public schools. Until last fall, the girls' varsity soccer teams, Fred Mebger Evers College Prep, Wingate, and Prospect Heights High School, all in District 17 and within walking distance of the old boys and girls field at the corner of Troy Avenue and Rutland and Emily, use the space for practices and home games. But the Department of Education gave control of the refurbished field to the 622-student Eagle Academy in Ocean Hill, which is 2 miles away in District 23 for its football team. DOE workers even painted the school's logo and name in huge letters on the turf to the underscore ownership. Suddenly, quietly, behind our backs, it got transferred to the Eagle Academy, said a coach with the Medgar Evers girls varsity soccer team. The girls from poor neighborhoods were forced to play on distant fields across the Brooklyn, miss afternoon classes to make games on times, and got home late from practices. Once the facility was transferred to them, they basically said, "It's ours." He said of the Eagle Academy, "My guess is that Mr. Banks gave it to them somehow. It's all politics." Before Mayor Adams named him school chancellor in January of 2020, Banks served 13 years as the president and CEO of the Eagle Academy Foundation, which supports a network of 5 public schools in New York City and 1 in Newark for boys of color in grades of 6 through 12. Before that, Banks was founding principal in the 2004 of the first Eagle Academy in the Bronx, which formed a partnership with 100 black men in New York. So let me get this straight. This was a public sports complex that $4 million was spent to refurbish. The Department of Education commissioner transfers the school to a school he used to be the CEO at before he became the chancellor. And it happens to be a school just for boys of color, grades 6 through 12. So is it a segregated school? Is it school or whites, Hispanics? I mean, it's all boys, so girls aren't allowed. Can white kids go to the school? Can Hispanic kids go to the school? And then they kick out all the girls' sports teams that use the facility. The coach for the Wingate Lady Generals soccer team is also frustrated by Eagle Academy's takeover. Somehow they got the field, and all the teams that played there had to move. Officials offered an adjacent baseball-softball field, but athletic directors deemed it unsafe for soccer because of the pitcher's mound and cutouts of dirt around the bases. "A lot of our games were rescheduled. We went all over," said the coach. "Traveled up to an hour or more for home games to other Brooklyn fields. All I know is that the girls are really put in a disadvantage, and I don't think it was fair for them. It was a huge disservice for women's sports." Kenneth Bigley, a sports coordinator for New York City's public school athletic lead, filed a sex discrimination complaint on September 30th with the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights. "Taking a DOE-owned facility that was used by students of both genders, renovating it, and then giving it exclusive to a small all-boys school seems the type of situation Title IX is meant to prevent," Bigley wrote. In December, the federal office confirmed that it had opened an investigation. The girls' soccer players weren't the only athletes evicted. In July, the Caribbean Premier League Soccer, which had hosted annual tournaments featuring teams representing the Caribbean and African nations for 35 years, was forced to cancel all games after the Eagle Academy denied it permission to use the field pending the renovation. "When all the work is done, Eagle Academy refused to grant the league a permit to use the field on Sundays from May to September, claiming soccer cleats, though less destructive than football cleats, might damage the school field's integrity." Besides the football field, the sports complex includes a track around the baseball field and basketball courts. The DOE spokesman said management of the field was turned over to Eagle Academy stewardship in April of 2023 on the grounds of it being the school closest in proximity with the largest number of athletic teams. But the Eagle Academy has 4 athletic teams, the furthest from the field. The 3 closest co-ed schools and complexes list a total of 32 teams. So that answer is not equaling up. Both the DOE and the SCA spokesperson refused to explain who requested the approved the $4 million renovation and how it was awarded to an Eagle. How was it was awarded to the Eagle Academy? So this is New York City Department of Education. I know that. But you constantly hear, we need more funding. We need more money. We're underfunded. We don't have enough money for education. $4 million is spent on an athletic field. Taxpayer dollars that's giving kids of all schools, area schools, all backgrounds, both genders, opportunity to play their sports at what appears to be, I'm looking at pictures, a state-of-the-art facility. Somehow, while the chancellor is in office of the New York City Department of Education, that is transferred over to the small little private all-boys school that is just for people of color. How does that happen? It is beyond me. And it just happens to be the school that he was the president and CEO of for a decade before he became the chancellor. And no one knows who requested the $4 million to refurbish the school. No one knows how it was turned over to the school. But we're supposed to let and trust government. We're supposed to say, trust the people here. It's time and time again, they just look and you shake your head. And the reason I bring this story out is because I've sat through board meetings here where never to this scale, but we've seen similar. Where, you know, a certain board member wants a certain sport at his school and he's going to champion that and get it. And the other board members are going to side with them because, you know, he's one of us and he's dedicating his time or she is dedicating her time. So why not get a sports team that their kid wants and could care about the rest? You know, I've sat through these meetings. I've seen them. I know you have. Pet projects of board members that get pushed through. I mean, I can name every board member and what their pet project was going through my kid's time at school. And it was comical. We used to make fun of it, you know, as we attended these meetings because they were predictable. But a new group of board members come in because you vote for change, and sooner or later they want the same type things. You know, we have our little pet projects. We have our this and that. And I know you've seen it here because I've seen it here, which is why I bring this, because this is just out in the open bad. And thankfully, the Office of Civil Rights is looking into it, and hopefully something is done here and get these all these kids back into this facility, because it does look like quite a facility. It's 5:22 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 5:26 on this Monday, June 9th, 2025. Let me go to the phone now. We have TJ Fitzgerald on. He's got a rally going on as we speak. I've been following it on social media, my friend. It looks good.
Yeah, yeah. I actually had to leave. I had to get back to work, but I just wanted to let you know. I'll tell you what, man. We have some really great patriots in Northeastern PA, and especially Bikers for Trump. Those guys came out in full force today. Got to give a lot of respect to Dwayne McDavid. You know, Fox News came. He gave a great press release. And we're just letting everybody know that, you know what, that stuff that's going on in New York and California isn't going to happen up here. We're not going to go for it. And number two, we're not going to let people talk about Rob Bresnahan and tell lies about Medicaid and other things about him. You know, the Soros-backed, the FUBAR fund or whatever their acronym is. So it was great. We had a lot of patriots, pizza, water. We had people from Pike County come down, Lackawanna, Monroe. It was amazing. It was really amazing.
Good to hear. Good to hear indeed. I also posted something. The head of the teachers union, the ATF, Randy Weingarten, is doing this No Kings Day. Did you see that post about that?
Yep. It looks like it's going to be Saturday. I don't know what we're doing. It was the first thing, you know, one thing at a time. So I'm going to see if we're going to do a counter rally, counter protest or whatever. You know, always with class and respect. But you know what? The Democrats are mobilized, they're funded, and they're organized. And I said that twice. But you know what? We need to make sure that they know that we're here. And honestly, all the rallies, protests, I think they're okay. But the main thing is we have to inspire our people to get out and vote. because without voting, nothing else matters. And if we don't win by one vote or more, we lose our country, and we'll lose our state, we'll lose our county, and we need to take our country back because it's sliding. It's sliding real fast.
Indeed. TJ, another great event today. Like I said, I've been following on social media from when it started, and keep up the great work. How could people, if they want to help with your organization, if they want to donate to your organization, how can they do that?
Okay, we're going to have a donate. I haven't taken really donations until this year. I wanted to tell everybody that, you know, hey, listen, we're going to walk the walk. We're not doing it for money. We're doing it because we're grassroots people. But it's NEPA, NEPARepublicans.com. There is a funding page. But when I have my events, we're going to start taking donations. So we're going to have an event this month with only Republicans invited, because we're going to have an event in Luzerne County. An event's going to be called Why You Should Vote For Us. I'm going to invite the county council, Walter Griffiths, anybody on the Republican ticket, and let the Patriots and all that. Because a lot of people, you know, are mad because their guy didn't get elected in. And so we have to have a meeting to try to mend the people that are not happy. We don't want them to go away and tell their families to go away and not to show up and vote in November. So even though we have some hurt feelings, we need to mend those bridges, and then we have to figure out a way to unite for the most part, and then make sure we show up in November and vote. So when that next event is happening, I'll let you know.
Sounds good, TJ. I appreciate you checking in with us today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It's 5:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paula Degman. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 5:35 here. I'm all backwards. My dyslexia is kicking in. So the Gaza-bound Freedom Flotilla Coalition, which has also been named the Selfie Flotilla, this is the one with Greta Thunberg that has been headed to Gaza. The aid vessel launched by Greta Thunberg and other international activists headed to Gaza was boarded by Israeli forces on Sunday, mere hours after Israeli officials demanded they turn back, the coalition announced in a Telegram post. The Madeleine ship, operated by the Freedom Flotilla Coalition, set sail on June 1st with 12 activists on board, including Thunberg, a Swedish peace and climate campaigner, Irish actor Liam Cunningham. The ship was unlawfully boarded, its unarmed civilian crew abducted, and its life-saving cargo, including baby formula, food, and medical supplies confiscated, the Freedom Flotilla Coalition said in a statement. So they were, Thunberg and others on board will be forced to watch videos of the October 7th attacks, Israeli defense minister said in a statement. Earlier on Sunday, Katz ordered the crew to abandon their aid mission and called the group anti-Semitic in a pointed jab. To the anti-Semitic Greta and her fellow Hamas propagandists, I will say this clearly. You should turn back because you will not make it to Gaza. Israel will act decisively against any attempt to break the blockade to support terrorist organizations, whether by sea, air, or land. She did say on Telegram that she's been abducted. But they're able to tweet about it, I guess, or Snapchat or whatever they do about it. The maritime zone off the coast of Gaza is closed to naval traffic as part of the legal naval blockade. If you wish to deliver humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip, you are able to do so through the Israeli port of Ashdod, a soldier said during a video. According to a group aboard the charity ship aims to deliver humanitarian aid to the Gaza refugees, including much-needed baby formula and simply nutrition like rice. I would have, looking at a picture of the, it's a sailing vessel with two masts. They have a large Palestinian flag flying from the center mast and a smaller Palestinian flag flying from the forward mast. The ship is part of the Freedom Flotilla, which has organized aid missions to Gaza for more than a decade. Well, not during a flotilla barricade, they have not. Truthfully, I would have let them land and see what Hamas does with them. See how their cameras would have worked and everything else there. I mean, you could have gotten them at any time. But they will be confiscating the aid that's on the ships, and it will go through valid Israeli aid checkpoints, not through this organization. It's interesting that they're able to post about it live stream when Israeli forces boarded their ship and make statements now on their social media platforms. But as per Greta Thunberg, she's abducted, right? But they are going to mandate that they watch October 7th videos to have an idea of what they're protesting about. So that's a good thing. There is also panic in the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. The chairman claims that David Hogg is making it impossible to lead the party. No one even knows who the hell I am. Now, there's been an audio leaked on this of him saying just that. He's basically whining that, you know, how is he supposed to? He's just getting his feet wet. How is anyone supposed to know who he is? David Hogg's taking all the attention. Now, there are rumors or there are accusations that David Hogg himself released this audio. Now, he denies that. But either way, it's not a good look. David Hogg is going to run for the chairmanship in an election, in an open election. But again, this is not a good look for Democrats who are trying to gain foothold to challenge in 2026. DNC Chair Ken Martin vented about party vice chairman in Parkland shooting survivor. And I use that lightly because he came after the fact. David Hogg to point to near tears in the recent call with top Dem brass, saying, "No one knows who the hell I am. I'll be very honest with you, for the first time in my 100 days on this job, the other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore," Martin bluntly admitted in a leaked audio of the May 15th Zoom meeting, which was obtained and publicized by Politico. Martin, who was elected boss of the Democrat National Committee in February, bemoaned the shadow that Hogg cast over him by igniting a firestorm within the party over his plans to fund primary challenges against incumbent Democrats. So it appears that the Democrat committee is imploding, continuing to implode, all while none of their messages resonating anywhere else except burning cars and throwing rocks at police. So we'll see if that continues tonight. And there's also word that 500 Marines from 29 Palms have been called up to supplement the National Guard now. That's a change of direction. So that we're going to keep an eye on, because I can tell you that Marines from 29 Palms are not there to protect federal buildings. So we'll see where that goes. It is 5:41 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I just had a friend send me a picture via text message that our governor, Josh Shapiro, is speaking up in Massachusetts right now. Not in Pennsylvania doing his job that you elected him to do. He's up in Massachusetts speaking to an organization. We will win. We will win. Governor Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania. Picture was just sent to me. He's about to take the stage up there. So I find that pretty funny, as should you. So lawmakers are going to take up a recessions package codifying $9.4 billion in DOGE cuts. Yep, you heard it right. That whole Trump and Elon thing that people went crazy about kind of went away pretty quick now, didn't it? Now, it's interesting. I was having this conversation with Sue Henry last week that I had gotten some traffic, that there was going to be some sort of dispute between Trump and Elon Musk. And the whole purpose of it, now it wasn't specific, the whole purpose of it was to bring the needle more to the center or more neutral when it comes to Elon Musk now that he's no longer directly working with the administration now. They kind of wanted something to stir up to where it would bring him back, you know, where some people would say, oh, you see, Elon's not that bad. Or you see, Elon was never really, you know, a Trumper to begin with or never on his team, you know. Something to that effect. And then the whole thing started to happen on Friday. And, you know, I thought at first, okay, this must be, you know, what the chatter was about, that there was going to be some kind of manufactured spat between Elon and Trump. But then it kind of got real dark real quick. And the whole thing, a lot of people were focusing on the fact that he said, you know, Trump is in the Epstein files, and that's why they're not being released. That was almost comical on its face value, and I talked about it when it was said, because anyone who knows anything about investigations realizes that the Biden administration Department of Justice had those files for long before this current administration Department of Justice had them. If there was anything slightly in there that even minusculely pointed to Donald Trump, you know they would have weaponized it. You know they would have released it. You know they would have used it. It would have leaked. We all know this. So there is absolutely nothing in there, and that statement is comical on its face value, knowing that. So once you look at it from that view, the majority of people in America go, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. They must really be going at it. Not really. And then there was the whole, well, Donald Trump said, I can balance the budget. We'll just cancel all of Elon Musk's company's contracts. And then Elon Musk came back and said that, well, he'll have SpaceX decommission Dragon X rockets that our space program depends on at this time. So that kind of was like, all right, now this is getting serious and there's real harm here. And then it kind of went away. And now it's, you know, Elon Musk reposted a picture of a flag, an American flag that Trump posted. And there's been stuff back and forth, but it kind of went away. So I'm at the point now where I don't know. You know, was it all to bring the needle more to the center, neutral with the general public? I'm not talking about, you know, people really on the left, people really on the right. I think everyone has their own opinions. But I think it did, you know, take Elon Musk totally out of the conversation after the fact that this happened. Because the past couple of days, you really haven't heard much of anything. And it seems to be on its own. Now, they were supposed to have a conversation. That conversation remained private. I figured one or not both would have something to say about it, and it didn't. Which, again, leads me to believe to see, was this all some sort of front to kind of send Elon Musk off back into his business life somewhere closer to neutral in the needle rather than the entire left end of the spectrum hating him? So, you know, something I keep an eye on. But this package here, this was one of the main issues that Elon Musk had with the Big Beautiful Bill. That the work, all the work that Doge did, even though it didn't meet the expectations and numbers that he gave of $1 trillion, it did save a lot. There was a lot of waste from fraud identified. Well, this package, compiled by the Office of Management and Budget, requests the cancellation of $9.4 billion in already appropriated spending. It includes $8.3 billion for non-life-saving foreign assistance and $1.1 billion for public broadcasting systems. Only a majority vote is needed in both chambers in order for these measures to pass. OMB Director Russell Voigt said the rescissions would eliminate programs that are antithetical to American interests with a politically biased public media system. These goals are consistent with the Department of Government Efficiency's controversy efforts to slash the funds. Among other foreign assistance programs, the rescissions package rescinds $2.5 billion from total funds appropriated for developmental assistance and $1.7 billion for the Economic Support Fund, which OMB says is practice conflicted with American interests and subsidized ideological projects. Global health programs run by the U.S. Agency of International Development, USAID, would lose a total of $900 million. OMB says the decisions would not reduce treatment for HIV, AIDS, infectious disease, or child or maternal health. Instead, it would eliminate programs that are antithetical to American interests and worsen the lives of women and children, like family planning, reproductive health, LGBTQI activities, and equality programs, the proposal said. The Clean Technology Fund, which invests in renewable energy projects like electric buses and solar panels in developing countries, would also lose $125 million. You have to ask yourself, why are we buying electric buses and solar panels for developing countries? Your guess is as good as mine. Doge and the Trump administration have zeroed in on what they view as wasteful foreign aid programs, especially those related to gender and climate initiatives. So they're looking to codify this. They're looking to make it into law, and basically the law would change the law that appropriated this money, because the argument is that this money has already been appropriated, therefore it needs to be spent. Well, if they change the law, if they write a new law that counteracts that law and rescinds it officially by codifying it, then they could in fact do these things. So this was one of the big sticking points that Elon Musk was talking about. People were like, well, he just doesn't like it because of it. No, he didn't like it because there wasn't enough cuts. He didn't like it because there was too much pork. He didn't like it because all the work that Doge and his team did was not being codified, which means the next administration, whoever that is, could come in and reinstitute all these funds. If you change the law, then they have to change the law to fix it back to where they want it. He wants it the latter, which I've said from day one. Members of Congress on the Republican side need to start dropping bills codifying every single executive order that Donald Trump passed. If not, again, we've seen this back and forth with the Trump administration, then the Biden administration, now back to the Trump administration. The difference is the immigration executive orders that the Trump administration passed in his first term and Biden reversed them in his second term. Biden looked in the American public's face, his administration looked in our face and said, there's no other way to do this. He needs comprehensive immigration reform. That's the only way this could be done. Well, then the Trump administration comes in and secures the border and starts to deport violent criminals and revokes their visas and revokes their asylum to where it should have never applied to begin with, showing that it can in fact be done. Fentanyl is an all-time low from getting to the public. We're seeing all of what they said could not happen, was not possible, actually happening. Not only actually happening, but happening in a short amount of time. But does the rest of the wall get built? Does this remain permanent? Does the border just open back up again if there's another administration that's open to that? We've seen what that costs us. We've seen what it does to our communities. We're seeing it now. They manufactured an illegal immigrant crisis, and now that it's trying to be cleaned up, they're rioting because of it in certain places, and they may be small riots at this point, but they're still riots. There's still violence happening. Things are still getting burned. They're still throwing rocks at police officers. Police are still being injured. You know, every media organization locally now has jumped on that ICE had an operation here in Luzerne County, and we knew about this. We heard about this on Friday. Now, there was no public statement out there. Matter of fact, we had text messages from businesses across the street saying there's an ICE operation there. But because we couldn't get it from official sources at the time and it was ongoing, we didn't want to put something out there that we didn't know 100% to be true. I trust the people who said that there's an ICE operation there. But, you know, is it ICE? Is it another organization? Is it FBI doing something? So we sided on the of caution. Well, now a statement's out, and now you have every media organization, all our newspapers, everybody's, all ICE was grabbing people up. There was an immigration enforcement effort here where they grabbed four individuals. And again, they're just not going to workplaces looking for people that may be here illegally. Somebody filled out an employment application. It popped that they were illegal, and they did have a warrant for their arrest. So they went and got them. And when they were there, they found others that were here illegally. So they got them. That's the way it works. That's the way it's supposed to work. So we'll keep up on that. I'm sure we'll talk about it more tomorrow now that every media organization has it and it's running with it because, you know, the current news on the things of these riots that aren't really happening. It's 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show. God bless, be safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.